Glory. Glory to God. Father God, we acknowledge you are the King of the universe, creator of all things. God of Israel, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we declare you are King. You are the Lord, and there is no other. And sir, we worship you and you alone, and we will have no gods before you, in Jesus' name. Whether you know it or not, that's really important to declare if that's in your heart. Because one of the things that gives access to the enemy is when we don't have God first. If we hook up to the enemy, knowingly or unknowingly, we open a door, don't we? Right? Whoever's kingdom you walk in, that's the goods you get. And you don't want his goods, do you? So today is like a way mark. It's much more important than I realized. When I was invited, I thought, oh, yay, I love Church on the Rock. Haven't been here in a while. And I gladly accepted. I was excited. But as I prayed, and as I watched, you know, I sit with the Lord a lot. I love sitting with him. That's my favorite thing in the whole world to do because he's so smart. You know, he's so much more wise than we are. He knows everything about your every little thing. And so when you sit with him and listen, when you sit with him and learn from him, your life is changed. And as I began to pray over the people, you know, I don't pray so much for meetings anymore as I used to pray for the meeting. Now I pray for the people who come. Because I want every person, God wants every human on earth, if he had his way, to connect to him heart to heart. You know, God isn't like anyone we know. He has so much love. He is love. He is the origination of love. And most of us really, honestly, don't really know what love is because we've only encountered humans who are kind of a mess. There are people sitting here who've never really known love, the real love of God. And you've wanted to, and there's because God created us to hunger for that love. And the thing about God is he loves to love people. So here's what we do. We look at ourselves and each other and we go, bleh. You know, you look at yourself and you go, why would he love me? But I was driving in the car one day, and hope you don't mind, Jan said I'm prophetic. All that means is I do hear from the Lord. I seek him because I have to. You know, when I was young, I realized I can't do life without him. Can't. Won't. Don't want to. And so I began to really go after God to understand the way he thinks, the way his heart works, the way his mind works. And I was driving in the car one day, and I said, I don't understand how you can love us. We stink. I said, I don't like us, and I don't even like me sometimes. How do you love us so much? And he said, because I knew you when. And I said, what does that mean? He said, I don't look at you as a fallen creation. I don't look at you as a mess. He said, when you're born again, I see you as you're gonna be. I see you as though the fall in Eden had never happened. Remember, before the fall, they were perfect. Not only perfect, they were in his image. That means they themselves had the love of God, the revelation of God, the wisdom of God. They loved with God's love, and the fall just broke that. It broke us. That's why Jesus had to come. The whole purpose of his coming was to restore us to garden state. And so when God looks at you, you may look in the mirror, you know, I'm talking about the emotional or spiritual mirror, and you might not like what you see. But God loves what he sees because he's looking at you on the inside at your real identity and purpose. And over the course of your life, God, one of the things today I said is a waymark. One of the things God is doing today is separating you from your past, if you will allow him. Because you know what? Our past sometimes tries to define us. There's someone in here that says, I was abused, or I was raped, or I was loved and left. I was married and he dumped me for somebody younger. All kinds of things like that try to define who you are, but that's not who you are. And the problem with us, God had to really deal with me on this. I went through some tough stuff when I was young, really, really, really tough. It almost killed me because I didn't have the strength and I didn't know how to pull on his yet. I was a Christian, but I was clueless, honestly. And I almost died in this situation. My life was broken and I was broken. And God began to show me how he redeems us. It almost is like he raises us from the dead. And if you're broken, if you're hurting, God is a specialist at raising you from the dead, the real you, not the one everybody else defined. So right now, let's just take off all the labels that people put on you. Things people said, maybe parents, maybe teachers, maybe friends, maybe bullies. People say things because they're either in the flesh or even motivated by the enemy. The enemy has an agenda to make you see yourself as being in his kingdom and not worth receiving. God wants you to understand that what you receive is not based on your goodness. So if you're here and you came for healing, I want you to know God never heals anybody based on their worthiness. And he never heals through you based on your worthiness. If you're saved, I know there's some who are not yet born again in here, but if you're born again, you came, hopefully they taught you the truth, which was you got nothing. You have nothing, you are nothing. You know, remember the old, when Billy Graham would do an altar call? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You know, we bring nothing, we have nothing. And when we come to him, I came because I was broken, messed up, I had screwed up my life so badly, and I knew I'm done here. And I had been a strong person. And you know what my problem was? As a kid, I was very self-willed, and I didn't want somebody else to be Lord. And I knew enough to know you don't just accept him as Savior. You make him Lord of all or not at all. Because anything in the middle is hellish. And what I mean is, you can name the name. There's people who name the name of Christ, but they still have half of their life dedicated to the enemy because they don't want to yield it to God. And then they end up in trouble, and they say, why did God do that to you? God didn't do that to you. You did. And I'm not trying to be mean. This is the voice of experience. The devil will clobber you if he finds you in his court, okay? And God has given us free will, so you can get born again and still go to the porn store. I know you don't, but I'm just saying. You can be born again and still choose to do wickedness, and you can still choose. When you do that, what happens is you shake hands with the devil, and he says, oh, here, I have something to bless you with. It's a disease, or it's a this, or it's a that. I'm not saying that all things come that way. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that every disease comes that way. But what I am saying is that when God heals, here's what happens. Here's what I think has happened in the body. A lot of the places I go, people say, well, I don't know if God wants to heal me. Well, you know why you think that? Because you live with you and you see your flaws and you think God is gauging his healing power based on that. That's not the system. If you understand your Bible in Isaiah 53, Jesus bought and purchased a number of things. Number one, you, me. He purchased us. Right? The Bible says, no, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. And that price was the most precious, costly thing in the universe, and it was the blood of God's own Son. That's how valuable you are. So what God doesn't like is when we disqualify ourselves, devalue ourselves, based on what people have said or the experiences of our life. Don't ever form your opinion of God based on how your life has gone. You know, don't ever form your doctrine based on, well, this happened to me and that happened to me and this happened to me. God gave us the Bible to help us understand. Like, if I had judged God based on what happened to me, I would have thought he hated me. I mean, because I had horrible things happen. And God began to challenge me to look at what his Bible said and believe it. And so God wants to disconnect you from false identity, judging yourself harshly, all the labels everybody put on you, because God has an identity for you. And whether you know it or not, if you're born again, here's what actually happens. When you got born again, if you said that prayer and you meant it, there was a literal physical exchange that happened in heaven, and you were created. You weren't just forgiven. You were created. You are a new creation. So in heaven, you became a new person then, not when you were born. Well, how does that work? Because in your mortal body, your spirit man became new. So your body is just a house of the spirit in you. And that is holy, even if you have messed up. So how can a person who is flawed, who has, you know, we're still working. I love holiness and I work on holiness every day. I love that, but I do it as an honor to him, not so I can earn the stuff he purchased. Yeah. That little whistle was like, yeah. Yeah, you say that, Holly. So in Isaiah 53, he didn't just purchase you and he didn't just purchase the new creation. He didn't just purchase your forgiveness and the complete washing away of every mess up in your life. He also purchased, he took, listen to this, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief. You know why? Because he took our sorrow, our grief, and our broken heart. It says, in fact, he has borne our grief. He has carried our sorrow and pain. And I used to carry my own. And for some years, my life was very bad, and I walked in severe depression and even had many, many thoughts of suicide. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you where I was at. And it's not that uncommon in the church. Because we start to feel defeated, and we start to feel that God doesn't care. And God began to teach me how things work, and he taught me, this was probably in my 30s, he taught me how to go from failure. I was a complete failure as a Christian, and I loved God with all my heart. I wasn't like half in, I really loved God. But I was failing because I did not understand the Word of God. I did not understand what Jesus had done, and I didn't really deep down believe it. I knew the scriptures. I have a good memory. Had a lot of scriptures packed away there. But one day God said to me, do you believe I am who I say I am? And I knew, don't answer fast. Be careful here. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I guess I have to be honest. You know, I had lost everything. I had lost my family. I had lost everything. And I knew it was the enemy. The first few years I blamed the enemy, but wrong me, I began to feel like, where is God? Where is he in this? You ever felt like that? I'm sure you haven't. And God and I had a discussion, and God began to deal with me about the reality of who he is and what he wants. And this is an interesting scripture. In Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Does that help make sense why the earth is kind of screwed up? Why a child died that shouldn't have? People say, well, you know, maybe the Lord did that. No, the enemy did that. And the enemy did that because the earth had been yielded to man, and man has let the enemy run rampant, and some of them even serve him willingly. That's why World War II happened. That's why the Holocaust happened. That's why all these terrible things, a lot of people turned away from God because they said, how could a loving God let that happen? God didn't let that happen. He gave the earth to man to see what we would do. We haven't done so well, have we? He gave authority to us, and he gave rulership to us. And if we don't understand that, we'll walk below and underneath. But that was never God's design. God created you. You are a new creation if you're born again. So let me keep going in Isaiah. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, my wickedness. The Amplified says, my sin, my injustice, my wrongdoing. Jesus, every time they whipped him, when they stabbed him in the side, when they hung him and they drove the spikes, that was me. That was my destiny. That was my judgment that I deserved. And what happens, you say, well, doesn't, you know, in the New Testament, God doesn't care about sin. Oh, no, God cares about sin, but here's how it works. The judgment of God is like this. I deserve it. I am still not perfect in my flesh. I try, but I still do things wrong. I still have thoughts, and I have to go, oh, God, I'm sorry, I repent. But here's what happens. The judgment of God, which would come on me like a lightning shaft from heaven, it's just about to hit me, and Jesus stands in front of me, and he takes it. He doesn't just take our sins and our mess-ups. He takes our sin nature. You're redeemed from your nature, you know, but you get to choose which one you walk in. You still get that choice. Amen. So what it's saying is, The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So if you really, I was challenged years ago, I was in a place and I kept saying, healing is in the atonement. And they kept saying it kind of flippantly. Well, what that means, if you think about it, that means he didn't just die for your sins. He died for you to be healed inside and outside. He took it on the cross, every sickness and every disease. And I'm like one of those people that I'm like, I got to see it in the scriptures. I don't just believe everything everybody says. So I went to Isaiah 53, and some of you older folks, you remember what a concordance is. It was this big fat book, and you looked up every word, you know. Now you can do it online about it, you know, a hundredth of the time. But I went through Isaiah 53 word for word for word for word, and it's very, very clear. He didn't just die for your sins. He died for your sickness. So let me ask you this. Did you deserve when he forgave you of your sins? Did you deserve when he applied the blood and said, you're forgiven, you're made new. Here's your true identity from heaven, by the way. Did you know that your spirit man is a seed from heaven? Something God wants to manifest, and most people are so busy looking at the earth problems and trying to get God to move in the earth, in their earth situation, trying to get God to do something with their husband, their kid. That's great, God will do it, but it's not the system. God has put something in you that is heavenly if and only if you're born again. If you are born again, God has placed the seed of heaven in you, the real you that was ordained before the foundation of the earth. So that person is largely ignored by most Christians. Most people don't even know what they're walking around with. And because they don't know, they can't manifest the glory of God. They can't manifest the presence of God because they haven't understood the system. It's not that there are special people in the body, I'm not going to deny that, but all of us house heaven. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, most American Western believers don't really know the impact of that statement, but every Jew did, because the Jews knew very well that the temple of God, when the power of God, the glory of God, came in and was seated in the temple, the power was so vast, that temple you are. Jesus died to make you a miniature temple on the earth, carrying the Spirit of God. What does that house? Healing. Do you know that if you're born again, only if you're born again, that your spirit houses healing? Not just for you, but for others. But our problem is we're so messed up in our thinking. We haven't been thinking heavenly. We haven't understood what the word really says. So we look at ourselves and go, well, I'm not really worthy. I was in Colorado in April, and I was preaching, and God had me to say, he said, some of you have not believed that God wanted to heal you because you don't feel like you're good enough, and you've believed a lie. And somehow, I just happened to catch this woman's eye. I wasn't trying to, but we locked eyes, and she went like this. And at the end of the service, she came up to me and she said, you know, she had been diagnosed with cancer. And she said, years ago, my first husband, this is years ago, we were in ministry and God told us to do something and we blew it. We didn't obey him. And so I have disqualified myself ever since. So people would come to the church and preach about healing, but she had disqualified herself from receiving. And so, of course, she couldn't receive. So I said, are you ready to get rid of that lie? Yes, I am. See, when you believe a lie in your soul, you know what you have to do? You have to repent of it. Because here's what God teaches, you know, he corrects me. Thank you, Lord. And I want to be corrected. I want the Lord to correct me because I want to walk in the whole thing. You know, I don't just want part of it. And when I was young and thinking all wrong and saying wrong things and feeling like God had left me for dead, you know, that's how I felt. That's where my emotions were. I was ignorant and foolish. And one of the things God said to me is this. He said, when my word says something, and I give you a promise, and you say, yeah, I know it says that, but I feel. Or I know it said that, but my circumstance are this. He said, you do realize, Holly, that you just called me a liar. And I went, oh, no, I didn't really realize that. He said, your emotions, you're ruling by your emotions, and emotions are liars. They're fickle. One day up, the next day down, the next day sideways. So-and-so likes me. No, they don't. Our emotions, we have so much idolatry in our emotions. Well, if this happens, then I'll be happy. You might want to check that. Well, if I just had this kind of house, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. If I had this husband, or if I had that, or if my husband would do then, I'd be happy. No, happiness, that's not real happiness anyway. You'll have it. You may be happy for about 12 hours. I used to think, when I first started ministering, God would do something way beyond me. I mean, something I'd be like, wow, look at what God just did, and I knew it wasn't me. And for about 10, 12 hours, I'd be like, whoa, that was so great. And the next day, I'd be like, because temporal happiness, temporal means very temporary. So the things of this world, they make you feel good for a minute. You can see that I like food. I'm trying to get over it. But you know the problem with food is it's a temporal fulfillment. Alcohol, temporal fulfillment. Smoking, temporal. Makes you feel good for a minute and then you feel like a slug, right? Well, many of our goals have been so temporary. If I just had this, no. Well, here's the problem. We find happiness and fulfillment when we find central alignment with God. And it's something you kind of have to work at. You don't just get it and it's there the rest of your life. I can tell when I'm just a little bit not quite on the center and it bugs me. So I've determined, because I know me, I'm not happy anywhere else. And God has blessed me. God has blessed me with, I have dreams fulfilled that I had from a little kid. God has given me in the natural. But you know what? That's not where my joy is. I found out about me that the place I'm happy, and by the way, this is where you are the happiest, is when you finally connect to God in the inner place and you're aligned with Him. You'll be like, wow, this is what life is. This is what, because you know why? You were created for that. We witness to people and we tell them, oh, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart. But you know what? Most Christians still have a God-shaped hole. It's not filled. Our dear sister talked about sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary. And our flesh doesn't want to do that, does it? Well, you know, I'm busy. I got all this stuff. There's something in the fridge. I should go cook. And dishes need to be done. But if Jesus Christ showed up at your house, if you said, well, you know, I love you, Lord, but I just got to go do the dishes. But this is what He did. He gave you the Holy Spirit, if you received the Holy Spirit, living in your house, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus to you. Now, I know some of you have heard me teach this. I don't want to go there because I could talk about this for weeks. But if you discover sitting at the feet of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, what that is Jesus manifesting Himself in your home. And when you get a hold of this, the Holy Spirit, you may think, "This, I'm upset because of this, or I'm upset because of that." You know what I've learned to do? I've learned to talk to the Holy Spirit and say, what's wrong with me? What's my problem? Why are my emotions a little off today? Because I refuse to have bad emotions. I lived that way too long. I'm not doing it ever again. And I'll go to Him and say, and He'll give me something that's the last thing I would have thunk. Like the last thing He'll say, well, it's really this. Oh, right? Because He has the ability to help us align with our Father. And here's what happens when you align with your Father. I want to say this right. All of heaven is yours. Did you know that? The Bible says all things are yours. That's a scripture. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. What does that mean, all things are yours? All things that Jesus died for you to have, legally, belong to you. When you were born again, when you said the prayer, if you meant it, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, right? There's something else that happened. Your name was written in the Lamb's book. All the things that belong to the Lamb, which is Jesus, now belong to you. Can you understand that? Legally. Now you say, well, where are they? I used to think, well, where is it? You know, I know you're saying this promise, but where? You know, I'm pretty practical. Where is it? Well, the Bible says where it is. It's in Ephesians 2. It says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. Well, where is it? It just said it's in heavenly places. So we recently did a retreat. Some of this will be a rerun to a few of you who are there. But this is how God taught me. He said, Jesus purchased all this stuff. All these things with your name on it belong to you. Inner healing, outer healing, mental healing. There's someone, by the way, he told me in here that your mind is getting healed today. I'm just releasing that. Don't let me forget, I have some couple words of knowledge for physical healings as well. All these things belong to you, and the way God teaches me is through pictures. I'm kind of like a little kid. He showed me the floor of heaven covered with all these amazing gifts from heaven. All the things you would ever need. He purchased them for us. He desires us to have them and walk in them. But they're there, not here. So that's why it's important for us to believe the word and pull it by faith and our words. That's why he installed the system of faith and our words. Faith and prayer. Faith, believe it, and pull it. Okay, now this sounds strange, but I've seen more healing when I just operated in that. I've seen all kinds of blessings come when I said, okay, I don't really see how you could do it, but that's not my job. My job isn't to see how you could do it or tell you how to do it. My job is to go, you said it, therefore it is, I'm pulling that and receiving that. And God actually likes it when you talk that way. So this is what he showed me. All these goods and miracles and healings laying on the floor of heaven, but I saw like a downspout. And God was wanting to pour this stuff out to whoever would align with him. But what I saw was a person standing there, and they had a pipe, but instead of it being receiving all the goods, it was like crooked. So all this stuff is pouring out. They're not aligned. They can't receive what he's already purchased for them. I hope this isn't too weird for you. But I'm a simple person. God teaches me in pictures. Then he shows me a person who aligns with heaven, and they can freely receive all that he has done. And so aligning your thinking with the word of God is the key to receiving all he has done for you. Some of you are looking at me like, I've never heard that before. But it is scriptural. So we have the ability to align and receive what God desires. You say, well, does God really want that? Yeah, he sent his son to purchase it for us. And it is actually not pleasing to him when we say, oh, I just don't know if I'm good enough, because we think that's religious. Do you know that that is offensive to him? I was asking God about this, and he gave me a picture. It's like if I was going to have you over, and I just thought you were like the most important person. It was so important that you were coming to my house. And I didn't just make a cake out of a box. I ordered stuff from Italy. I ordered stuff from England so I'd have the finest of the butter. I ordered everything, and I spent hours making this amazing cake, and you showed up, and you said, I just don't feel worthy to eat it. You know what I would want to do? I'd want to slap you. I ordered this from Italy, and I would be like taking this cake going, you're going to eat this cake. But God is more gracious than I am. But that is how he feels when we say, well, I just don't know if I'm worthy. Of course you're not. Hello, were you worthy to be saved? Was I? No. Am I worthy now? Am I worthy to stand here? I promise I'm not. None of us are. If your name isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you ain't, except for the righteousness he gives you. And so if you're going to receive a healing, you might as well receive it today. So here's what happens. Here's how we're aligned and not aligned. We believe something that is counter to the word of God. Our mind can even quote the word of God and say, hallelujah, I'm believing God. Aren't we good at that? I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God for that. But deep down we go, yeah, but I don't really feel like he wants to give me that because I'm kind of a screw-up. Don't look at me with that tone. So what happens? We need to learn to recognize when we have believed a lie. How do we know we've believed a lie? Because it's something that's contrary to what the Word says. He says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. So you go, I'm not good enough. That's a lie. Right? I was in Grand Junction, Colorado, and there's a sweet lady. She's used a lot with children. I mean, really wonderfully used of God. And I happened upon her. I just walked up into a conversation, and she was saying this to my friend. She said, "I was born prematurely, and I've had a spirit of infirmity my whole life. I've always had sickness." And she said, "God uses me to heal other people, but I can never seem to get my healing." And I started to say one thing, but I heard myself say, "Oh, because you have been so hurt and disappointed, you've been afraid to believe for your healing because you didn't want to be hurt anymore." And she went, "Yeah." I said, "Can you see why that doesn't line up with the word?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you get ready to get rid of that?" "Yeah." So how do you get rid of a lie that says I'm not really healed, or I'm not really blessed, or whatever? First, you look real close at what you're believing, and then you look at the word of God. And I ask God to show me the lie, show me the truth, right next to each other. Because, see, we can preach all day these truths. We listen to teachings. We listen to great preachers, and there's a lot of them. They're preaching good truth. But if your emotions are still saying, "Yeah, I know that's true, but," then you can't receive, but everybody else can. I once had somebody that they just couldn't receive. Oh, let me finish my story. Sorry. When I said that to her, she didn't tell us any of her personal stuff. I had her do a little proclamation to repent, say, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to be hurt anymore, so I was afraid to step out in faith. I repent. Please forgive me. I want to believe you for my healing." She never told us anymore. She went home that night. She came back, and it was testimony day. We have these big retreats at the end. We like to share testimonies of what happened to people at the end. She said that she had had a number of problems, but one of the problems was in her feet. She couldn't get up at night. She would get up in the night to go to the bathroom. She said it would take her 10 minutes to be able to stand up because she had so much pain. She said, "When you have to go to the bathroom, 10 minutes is kind of a long time." Her feet were completely healed. Now, did we pray for her feet or even know about her feet? No, but she got aligned with God's truth. She repented of the lie. Your emotions are lying to you. That's what emotions do. So it behooves us to figure out where we have not believed what he said. Listen, the gospel is so good, we have a hard time even thinking, especially if you've sat in, I know this is a wonderful church, but some of you came out of religious churches where you can't actually believe that God is good or means good for you. God wants you to succeed. Did you know that? God wants you to be above and not beneath. He said so in his word, the head and not the tail. He wants you to be able to lend and not have to borrow. That's scripture. That's the scripture. But we say, because we think it's religious, "Oh, I just don't know if he meant me." If now you have called God a liar and you've said he is a respecter of persons. Come on, is anyone here? So we have to start to take the word for what it really says and say, "Hey, if nobody else takes that, I'll take it. Am I worthy?" Nope. One of the reasons I'm able to preach, I'm called upon to preach when I haven't got a clue what I'm going to say. I've been called upon to preach when I was not feeling good. I've been called upon to preach when maybe I don't know, I'm just making stuff up now, but maybe I didn't have a good day, or maybe I didn't do the right thing or say the right thing. Maybe it was cranky. I'm sure that could never happen. So the devil in the flesh would say, "Who are you to stand in front?" Nobody. But I'm his. And if you get a revelation, God loves me because I'm his kid, not because of anything I ever did right. I never did anything right, and if God uses me, it's in spite of me, not because of me. I have the grace to know that. And God wants to, you know, it's not because preachers are not special because they're special or they're so perfect or they're so holy. And if they think that, I think they're believing a lie. Anybody can do what I do. But we must become aligned with him. We must get to a place where he is truly king. So the first thing you got to do, make sure you're born again. And then begin to receive what he put in you. That born-again spirit in you is holy. It's a holy thing from heaven. And most people will go their entire life and never understand their true identity from heaven. They'll go through life, gee, oh God, won't you use me to do this? But I'm totally in the flesh and I do everything according to the flesh and you're not really Lord. But oh Lord, won't you use me to raise the dead? No, I don't think so. Because your flesh has no power. In fact, it's anti-power. The Bible says the spirit and the flesh are enemies. So if you're doing life trying to be a good Christian in your own ability, not only are you going to be suffering failure and wondering why doesn't God come through, it's because you're not doing it according to God's system. Is this making any sense? Because once you figure this out, you can walk in victory. Now, I'm not going to tell you you won't have warfare. You will. I'm not going to tell you you might not have more warfare than ever, but here's the good news. You get to win. You get to win because you won't accept the lie of the enemy anymore. You refuse to accept. You're just no good. They don't want you around. You're a square peg in a round hole. You've never been any good. Your parents said this. Your teacher said that. We have to start to trade in that stuff and say, whatever you made me to be, that's what I'm going to be. I don't know how to do it. But I know who knows. That's you, Lord. I'm going to sit at your feet until I understand who I am and what I was put here to do. Paul said, I just want to make sure I've said everything I'm supposed to say. Hallelujah. One of the scriptures that gripped me when I was young was the first time I read when Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That implies he knew what his course was, and he had a knowing that he had done it. And I thought, man, I don't know what my course is. How will I know when I've done it? And I started to pray different. I said, I don't care so much about what happens here, but I want that at the end of my life, I'll be able to say with Paul, I fought the good fight. I ran the race that was set before me. I did what I was born to do. And I started to really go after God. You need to go after God to find out who you are, because a lot of us have never gotten to see the real you. And if someone saw the real you, you know what they would see? I'm going to tell the story about the mirror, Lord, you're nodding in the back. You know, sometimes the things of the Spirit are a little strange, and you may go, what are they talking about? Just stick around with the Lord, he'll show you. We were doing this meeting called Immersion, where we just immerse people in the power of the Lord. And I had the strangest word, and I thought, that's weird, but I knew it was God. So the word was something like this. God is going to let you see in the mirror of God. You're going to get to see yourself as you really are. Now, I didn't know who it was for. I didn't pick a person out. I just knew it was something God was saying. Well, lo and behold, Lori, who never tells me anything, has an encounter with Jesus where she's taken up on a mountain. And she sees the robe that God put on her, and it was too big for her. She had to grow into it. Shoes that were too big. And Jesus puts her in front of a mirror, and I said, wait, stop the story. I want to tell you what I think you saw, and tell me if I'm right. You saw the love of God. You saw the power of God. You saw the compassion of God. You saw healing power. You saw all that he is because you were made in his image. She's like, that's exactly what I saw. Do you know that that's who you are? C.S. Lewis, this is a paraphrase, but C.S. Lewis, he said, every person that you ever meet will one day either be a monster so terrifying that if you saw it today, you would be tempted to run in fear, or a creature so glorious and full of light, you would be tempted to bow down and worship. See, he had an understanding of our spirit. He was talking about someone who's unredeemed and someone who's redeemed. Do you really know who you are? It's not a pride thing, because you can only get this when you humble yourself before God, knowing we got nothing. He's got everything, but I want his everything. And once you begin to be able to say, yeah, I know I'm not perfect, but you know what? I'm his kid, and he loves me no matter what kind of day I'm having. He loves me because I'm his kid. And that's what enables me. It doesn't matter what kind of day it is. I can go and preach because it ain't me. I don't have to be perfect. He's perfect in me. And if you get this, I'm telling you, you can find victory in every area of your life. You will have to pray a lot. I will tell you, you got to pray a lot because you got to be in the presence a lot. You have to become familiar with him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? So, I'm going to say a couple things. One of the scriptures, Jesus said, remember I read that out of Isaiah 53, which is kind of Jesus' mission statement. And then Jesus shows up and says his mission statement. But in Matthew, remember, he said he came to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free. That was his mission. I'm here to do this. This is what I'm here to do. That has not changed. He's still here to heal brokenhearted. Do you know that word, the sense of that scripture is the shattered. Those who've been shattered, your life has been shattered, either emotionally or physically. That's what that means. He came to do that. He's still here to do that. Jesus wants to heal us. He wants to heal our life. He wants to heal your life. He wants to have you step out of your past. I started to talk about this some years ago. I had been through such horrible things that I wasn't thinking well. I wasn't thinking like I'm thinking now. I'm still on my way, okay? But he showed me this long hallway, and it wasn't light and it wasn't dark. It was gray. And I was stuck in this hallway, and it was, you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And there was a doorway open before me, and if you stepped through this doorway, it would be amazingly bright, vast area, freedom and glory. But I didn't seem to be able to step over the threshold, and he said, that hallway is your past. And what has happened to you is you went through so much that you've been afraid that this is the way it will always be. Some of you have even said, every time I try this, that happens. Every time I try to do this, that happens. What have you just done? You've had faith for the bad thing to happen. You've expressed and confessed the bad thing to happen. And God challenged me. He said, I want you to come out of there. I want you to get rid of your past. It never happened. Your past does not define what I'm going to do. We spent my whole life getting me ready to do what I'm called to do. It took years and years and decades and decades. And he said, what are you going to do now? Stay in your past? What are you going to do now? Remain? You've cried out to me to do this thing, but you're staying in your past? No, 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 no. Break everything that's ever happened to you. That doesn't define me. What they said doesn't define me. I will do what I was born to do. That's how God wants you to think. Would it be okay if we do a proclamation? Yes. If you're not comfortable, you don't have to say this. Let me have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am your child. I am so done with my past. I am done being defined by what people think. I'm done being defined by what people say. I'm done believing what the enemy tells me. You have given me a true identity. I am stepping out of my past. I'm stepping into my true identity. I want to align with you in my thinking, in my heart, in my plans. I ask you to help me out of the hallway of my past. Teach me how to receive all that you are. And help me to learn all that I am in the Spirit. I never want to go back, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew 8:7 says, this was fulfilled Isaiah prophecy. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So there is healing in this room. You can receive it inside, outside. You can receive because you're not receiving it because you did anything right. Okay? My mom was diagnosed with a terrible, one of the worst kinds of cancer. And she had been raised kind of Mormon, kind of the offshoot of the Mormon church. And so she did believe in healing, but just didn't, you know, they were very worksy. You had to earn everything. And I was talking to her. My mom was this little tiny thing, little teeny tiny thing. And I said, Mom, you know, God heals. God has the power to heal. And she said, she was sitting down. She said, I just don't think I'm worthy. And I just said, you're not. I said, that's why he had to die. You don't receive because you're worthy. And my mom started to cry, and she said, are you a minister? I said, yeah, I kind of wasn't going to tell you that, but kind of, yeah. Yeah, kind of wasn't going to mention that because, you know, in our house, well, that wasn't the thing. So I want to, all healing is yours. I'm just going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal every part of me. I will receive it. I will not keep any walls up. I want all that you have for me. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Heal my soul. Heal my spirit man. I belong to you. I receive it freely because Jesus was worthy in my behalf and he died for me to receive it. In Jesus' name. And now the last thing I have, I did see as I was praying yesterday morning, I woke up and I saw someone had a lump, okay? It was fairly large. It's in the front area and it was on the lower right, like here, okay? And it was kind of festering and you've actually been afraid to deal with it and you've kind of been hiding it. I believe the Lord said you've been hiding it from your husband. God is healing it. You do not have to be afraid. God is healing you. We've had people healed. This is called a word of knowledge. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. It's just God telling a secret to help someone. I was healed by word of knowledge when I was young. Radically, miraculously healed by a total stranger that I never saw before or since. She walked up to me and said, "There's something wrong with your back." I was like, "I have the flu. Would you pray for the flu?" You know. And she said, "Did you fall off a horse when you were a kid?" And I went, "Uh-oh. Okay, this lady knows something." No one knew. My back had, I had fallen off a horse, landed on my tailbone. My back had fractured, and it was a simple fracture, which means there's nothing they can really do. You just heal. Well, when it healed, my back healed crooked. And I wasn't in pain, but God wanted that fixed. But he changed my life that day. I thought, "Lady," she said, "can I pray for you?" I thought, "Lady, you can do whatever you want, because you're from the Lord." No one knew that. No one knew it. This was her big prayer. She just touched my shoulder and said, "Jesus." Now, I did not feel fire, heat, goosebump, nothing. But I went upstairs, and when I took a shower, my tailbone was smack in the center, perfectly healed. And I thought, "Wow, God." And when I was in the scriptures, I saw the word of knowledge, and I said, "Lord," this was before I knew, God wants all his kids to freely be used in the gifts. God wants his children. He loves it when you're used in the gifts. Again, we aren't worthy because gifts tell people the greatness of God, not the greatness of you. And I said, "God, if it would be okay with you," because I didn't know better, "would you let me help people the way you help that lady helped me?" And God began to give me words of knowledge. So that was one. So God does not want you walking in fear. God is healing you. I also saw something strange. I've never seen this before. At the lower part of the back, like I would say, if you went to your tailbone, maybe go three or four up, I actually saw a lump on the spine. I've never seen that before. God is healing that. So if you've been having pain there, all you have to do, if you're not sure, even if you're not sure, say, "Well, is that me?" Just say, "I received that." Because when healing is in the room, you can always receive it. And by the way, if you're home alone, healing is in the room. Okay, one more story and then I'll quit. I'm trying to quit. You know, God's so good. I have a friend that was a, I had led this lady to the Lord, and she was really strange. But she, within 6 months, she said, "Well, we were working together. I used to be in IT, and she was brilliant. She was in network support. She was brilliant." She said to me one day, I'd been discipling her. We'd sit in the conference room after work for hours and just hang out with the Lord and get, whoo, you know, hallelujah. And one day she says, "Well, I'm not doing this forever. I'm going to go be a missionary." And I thought, "Lord," because she's only been saved like 6 months. And the Lord said, "It's okay, this is me." I thought, "Really?" So then she said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of those courses where you teach English as a second language, and then I'm going to go to Egypt." And I'm thinking, they kill people in Egypt for this. I'm like, "Lord," he said, "don't worry, this is me." So we had a big garage sale. We sold all her stuff. She sold her house. She went to the course, and God placed her instead in Thailand for many years. She's back here now, but she was in Thailand for many years. Oh, Lord, bring it back. It's something really good I was going to tell you. Keep praying, Barbara. I can't remember what it was. It was a really good thing. Oh, thank you. We were able to communicate after a while over some weird app. You know, now it's easier, but back then it wasn't that easy. And she said, "I'm having some physical symptoms." And I said, "Well, that's interesting. God's been teaching me how to push a healing from my spirit." So I'm like, "I'm practicing, I'm learning. He's been teaching me this." So I'm in the grocery store, and I said, "I'm going to push a healing." So I was like, you know, when you're learning, you don't know. But if it's in your spirit man, because your spirit man is made in the image of Jesus, you have healing in you. And we go around begging God from heaven to heal us from the outside. That's the wrong system. That doesn't work very good, right? Or we wait for somebody with a gift. Well, that's okay, but it's not the best. So I'm in the grocery store, and I'm like pushing a healing. She goes, how are you doing that? I'm like, oh, did it work? Thailand. What I'm saying is you have things in you that God has purchased for you. God wants us to get to know him and get to know the Christian walk and how phenomenal it is. There's an error when we think only special people. There are special people. I have seen that, and I won't deny that. But every one of us has, if you're born again, you have the image of God on the inside of you, and God wants you to know it and begin to walk like it. Amen? Amen. So, Jan, I'm going to have you come back up. Thank you, Jan, for putting this together.